Thank you, Daniel, for sharing with us this morning. Good question. Why are we following Jesus? What is the purpose of that? Very clearly there, Jesus had a vision. Even when his disciples attempted to distract him a bit with asking, you know, what about this or what about that, which could have been fear. But Jesus knew the call, he knew the reason he was here, and he had a vision that he had a path that he was on, and he intended to fulfill that. And so I'm thankful to God this morning for that vision that Jesus had, and he didn't back away from that or head in another direction, because this morning you and I are free because of his faithfulness. Those of us who have committed our lives to Jesus Christ. And I want to talk a little bit about vision this morning. I've entitled my message, I want to write some things on the board, The Family Vision. Can you all see that? And God's Purpose. That one might not work. Let's try red. The family vision and God's purpose in it. You picture yourself on a journey, right? This being eternity, and this being the beginning of our journey. What is it going to take when you look at vision for your life? What is it going to take to get to eternity? I mean, you know, we think about salvation, we think about different things, and but what is it going to take? What vision is it going to take to get to eternity? And I think one area, I feel like this is really broad this morning, one area that God uses is the family unit, the family structure. And this morning, if you're here, I know you're part of a family. You came out of a family. Maybe your parents aren't here this morning or you're single. So I want to just challenge us. If you're not a father or a mother here this morning, you are someone God created, and God has a vision for you, specific vision for you. And so I don't want to miss anyone. I feel like it's broad this morning. It's like, as I was started studying for this message, I was like, wow, this is bigger than what I had pictured. And so I don't want to just skim over a bunch of points and then we go home with not remembering a few things. And so you can pray for me as we go through this. But there again, just your walk with God is intended to be lived out according to his purpose, and he has a vision for that. And it's okay to lay our plans before the Lord. We ought to. I challenge you this morning, if you don't have a written vision for your life or for your family, at least write it down somewhere that you know where it is. Maybe you don't need to be talking about it, but we wrote down a vision. We actually have it on our living room wall with a picture of our family. And I know that in itself doesn't make you live the godly vision. But I've looked on that picture so many times in the living room and said, what am I doing this for? And it simply says, we exist to know, love, and serve God, and to know, love, and serve others. And I've used it many a times for Melina in Thailand. You know, she would intense studies, intense trips sometimes. You know, she got her fill of going through customs and things like that. And I just kept reminding her, just remember what we wrote down. Remember what our vision is. And she said she every once in a while, when she gets, challenged, it gets intense. She'll listen to my wife and I's message and where we shared that with her, and it gives her purpose again. And so I just challenge you, if you don't have anything written down, further than what's in here, write it down. If you're here this morning and you don't know where to start, just start where you are. Write down where you are. You're heading on a journey, and every man that builds plans first before he builds. We cannot build and expect it to work out if we don't have a heavenly vision or a goal to shoot for. And so the trajectory to get there sometimes isn't this straight. I know that. And we'll look over that here shortly. But I want to turn to, we can see some of this in Deuteronomy 6. I want to read the chapter and see that what God's heart is for his people and how we are to pass on the faith. So Deuteronomy 6 is where we want to start. We'll end up in some in Deuteronomy 11 and in Mark 12, where Jesus reinforces that law that we're about to read and then takes it even to a whole new level. And one thing I've learned since being a Christian, vision vision is about leading in the small, simple things that make a difference in the big picture. And I will say this morning, I'm on a journey and haven't had this straight of a line, unfortunately. And I have regrets about that. But I'm on a journey. It's not about where you are, it's about where you're headed. If we get off course, the blood of Jesus is there to redeem that and to bring us right back on track again. Otherwise, the Bible wouldn't have said that if we fall, we can repent. If we fall off of this trajectory, we can repent and get back on track. So I don't want to be here this morning and condemn anything anybody is in. That's not my intent. I want to encourage us. We are on a journey. One thing I will warn, if you turn around and head the other way, then God says you won't end up at the right place. What John Omar talked about last Sunday and the reality of hell, if you turn away from God and deny God and say there is no God, then you're off course. And I don't think there's anyone here this morning that would say that's where they are. We're on a journey. We're going on a journey together. Deuteronomy 6, we see God's heart here. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, the judgments, which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God to keep his statutes, his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, observe to do it. It may be well with thee that ye may increase mightily. As the Lord God of thy fathers has promised thee in the land that flowed with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest down in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the doorposts of thy house and thy gates. It shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, and wells digged which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. just want to pause there a little bit. I don't think I realize sometimes how much my grandfathers, my parents, and those that went on before me dug those wells. I can reap of the fruit that they planted. We have such a great heritage. We have such a great godly heritage, and I am so thankful this morning that I got taught some of the biblical principles in our home where I grew up. Never forget. It is obvious when you start looking to other people. You go into the prisons, Sim. There is fatherless homes. Who says that Sim wasn't chosen to be in a fatherless home? Who says that I wasn't chosen to be an orphan? I am so thankful this morning. Never forget what God did for you ahead of you. And the tendency is that we forget that and we want to go back to where we were and we forget the good things that God did. Verse 13, thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him and shalt swear by his name. Ye shall not go after other gods of the people which are round about you. Wow, this is really good. For the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee and destroy thee from off the face of the earth. You shall not tempt the Lord your God or test him, as ye tempted him in Massah. Ye shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God and his testimonies, his statutes, which he commanded thee. And thou shalt do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest go in and possess the good land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to cast out all thine enemies from before thee, as the Lord hath spoken. And when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, what mean the testimonies, and the statutes, and the judgments, which the Lord our God hath commanded you? Do you ever have that happen to you that have older children? They start asking questions, and good questions, and we get to share with them the good things that God did and the good things that he has done in our lives. 21, then thou shalt say unto thy son, we were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed signs and wonders, great and sore, upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, and upon all his household before our eyes. He brought us out from thence, and that he might bring us in to give the land which he swore unto our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes to the fear of the Lord our God, for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is at this day. And it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do these commandments before the Lord our God, as he has commanded us. What a powerful task, vision that God gave to the people there. And today yet, we can take that for ourselves. In 4-9, you see that blessing of passing on the faith. Passing on the faith to our children. And I want to encourage us. We talk a lot about maybe more challenging each other here as fathers. In our prayer meeting times, we ask for prayer. We ask for direction for this or that. We ask for direction for our families and how to bring them to a further place, right? And I just had to, I started thinking about that is, you know, there is an intense desire here in the church to do it right. There is. And I don't know where you are on this journey this morning, but let's just say you started out right. You're on this journey, and we talk about this sometimes. Remember when I got born again, it just seemed like God was moving. Every time I turned around, God was moving. Every time I prayed the prayer, he was just there. I had it like that. But I think God wants to take us deeper. And let's not get discouraged. Count that as a blessing. God wanted to do that because he wanted to make sure that we recognize and get our focus on him. And I know the vision here this morning is not the main focus. If we have Christ as our head in the vision that God gave us for our family, it will stand the test of time. It will stand when the winds start to blow. But when the winds start to blow and you start to get distracted, you get off course. And this could be 5 to 10 years. It could be 20 years. We know that we're not quite where we were. And the goal is, God's standard is perfection. But I'd like to just focus not on works this morning. If we're not perfect, who makes us perfect? God does. He will redeem. If we see that we're off course this morning, whatever it is that you're doing, not doing that you should be doing, repent and get back on the road with God. Christ will lead us home. And that's the vision we should have. Is our life is not going to be perfect. There's going to be times where we veer way off course. And then there's times where we just do this. But I hope and pray that along this journey, our children can take on the faith. That's my heart this morning, that they would serve God in such a way, the deep desire in our hearts this morning, that they would serve God and have a desire to serve Him well. And at the end here, I want to spend some time just ministering to each other. Give us some time to do that and share with each other your vision you have for your family. It can be family with family, individual with another one. It doesn't have to be anything written out this morning. If you feel like God spoke to you during this time, write it out. Or write down where you are. I need a vision. I don't feel like I have purpose. I feel like things are just way out of hand. You know what? Again, it's not, you didn't turn around. If you did, repent. But you're on a journey. You're on this journey. You can come back on track. We talked about the cross this morning, and one line that just burdened my heart it was, what if God could make all things new? What if He could make all things new? I can't fix the past. But with God's help, He can fix the future. He can help us. And so as we go through this, just think about where you are this morning. Again, no condemnation whatsoever. We're on a journey together. Joshua 22:5 says, "But take diligent heed to do the commandment and the law which Moses, the servant of the Lord, charged you, to love the Lord your God, to walk in His ways, to keep His commandments, to cleave to Him, and to serve Him with all your heart and with all your soul." In Deuteronomy 11, let's go there next. I encourage you to read through 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and 11. Just the book of Deuteronomy has so much in it for the family. I'm not going to, for the sake of time, I don't think I'm going to read this whole chapter. Verse 1, he says, "Therefore thou shalt love the Lord thy God, keep His charge, and His statutes, and His judgments, and His commandments always." And then jumping over to verse 13, "And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto My commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God, to serve Him with all your heart and with all your soul, that I will give you the rain of your land in due season, the first rain and the latter rain, that thou mayest gather in thy corn and thy wine and thy oil. I will send grass in thy fields for thy cattle, that thou mayest eat and be full. Take heed to yourselves that your heart be not deceived, and turn, and ye turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. They had that tendency back then. And then the Lord's wrath be kindled against you, and he shut up the heavens, and there shall be no rain, that the land yield not her fruit, unless ye perish quickly from off the good land which the Lord giveth you. Therefore shall ye lay up these words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that there may be frontlets between your eyes. And ye shall teach them to your children, speaking of them when thou sittest down in thy house, when thou walkest in the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. You see an intense effort, a committed cause here. Basically, he's saying, when you're awake, think of these things. Anytime you're awake, and thou shalt write them upon the doorposts of thine house and upon the gates, that your days may be multiplied in the days of your children, and in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them, as the days of heaven upon the earth. For if ye shall live diligently, keep all these commandments which I command you, and to do them, to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and to cleave unto him, then will the Lord drive out all these nations from before you, and ye shall possess greater nations and mightier than yourself. Wow. Every place whereon thou the soles of your feet shall tread shall be yours, from the wilderness and Lebanon, from the river Euphrates, even unto the uttermost sea shall your coast be. There shall no man be able to stand before you, for the Lord your God shall lay the fear of you and dread to you upon all the land that ye shall dread upon, as he has said unto you. Then he says, behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day. And he goes on to say, a curse if you will not obey his commandments. But if you turn aside and follow other gods, there'll be a curse upon your life. What are these gods? What are these gods that he's warning us about? I think it was something other than giving him full focus. Daniel mentioned this morning about looking on the Savior. Just as a serpent was lifted up in the wilderness, when we look upon him, we can be healed from these things. And so if our focus comes off of that, comes off of the ultimate goal, then can slip into our lives. And it can happen in a very subtle way. And so let's refocus, repurpose this morning of where we're going as individuals. And then in Mark 12, 29 to 31, Jesus reinforces the law and fulfills it all to a new height. And one of his scribes came, having heard them reasoning together, perceiving that he answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? Came as a challenge. And here Jesus said, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. So all that was wrapped up in what I just read. And if you don't have a family vision, take these two commandments and somehow unpack them for your family. All this was summed up into two efforts. Love God, obey his commandments, and then love your neighbor as yourself. God is pleased with that. When Christ is at the center, just because we are not doing well does not mean we cannot do better. If we are doing well, it may also be time to revisit the vision again, to get to a larger vision. I would just like to encourage us to think big Think large and then act in small ways. Take the simple things in life that matter and make up the big picture. This church, this is where we're going, according to the Word of God. Eternity is where we'll end up. When I was 15 to 25, I used to hear people say, it's not that long. It's not that long. I'm already 51, and it hasn't been long. And when I look at the rest of my journey to 120, it's... I used to have a friend. He'd say, yeah, Jesse, I'm shooting for 120. Good old Leon Hershey. He used to say, I'm shooting for 120. I'm just believing God. Well, I tell you what, he's with Jesus this morning. Yes. It's not that long. This journey is not that long. Can we just focus, put a laser focus on what's important? And I'm also encouraging us, let's not miss the larger picture. This is where I keep reminding myself, and the power of no. Let's not miss the larger picture by saying yes too many times to things. We can say yes all day, every day. But I tell you what, the way you live your life daily is the way your lifestyle is the way your life is going to be lived until you change it. And God is looking to us to do that. He has a vision for us. He's not going to change this path, but he will help us walk it if we focus on him and live for him. And again, in all humility, I share this because I'm the curvy one. But I tell you what, I am, by God's grace, still on the journey. And I want to encourage the young men, even ask God, pray about what God has for you as far as marriage, as far as family, all those things. In the meantime, if you have that vision, in the meantime, just in a way, until marriage happens, let that go to sleep and just serve God. Just give him everything you got and get to know him in a further way. He's going to lead you, and what you learn in that time frame is going to be so valuable in your marriage. The vision is God-given. Let's not assume everything will eventually work out. I think I mentioned that before. Because the wise man plans before he builds. I've been talking to some older men and asking them, you know, about what it means to have a vision. And in summary, you know, it's a crucial roadmap, intentional plan and purpose. It builds teamwork, a momentum in your family. To build that, to talk about that, and we certainly don't do it enough. Just like I said, just because it hangs there doesn't mean it's talked about. Talk about it. Talk about what the why behind that and unpack that. The vision brings character and values that will have a lasting effect and going on to your children and grandchildren. Leaving a legacy behind that is God honoring, God pleasing, because that is the heart of God. Just had to think of when there's not a vision, you're living together, and you're assuming everything's going to work out. Yes, we pray, you know, that it will, but sometimes it reminds me of that tug of war, where you have the same amount of men on either side. And they have a plan. Quite honestly, I'm a little intrigued with tug of war, because you got to be committed, And you have to have a strategic plan if you're going to take the other team back across the line. And in order to do that, you all have to be focused on the same thing. And if you picture a tug of war that there's half of the team is just, maybe some of them are favoring the other team, they can very easily throw something off. And I've thought of that already in a family where the enemy is distracting a few, and it throws, it is really challenging. It seems to throw things off. And my goal this morning is not to focus on the enemy. Actually, the Bible discourages that. Our goal is to focus on Christ, and then through that, he will flee. But when the family is getting distracted, where a few of the ones inside that family are getting off a little bit, it makes it really difficult to stay on course. And so children, this morning, if you understand this, I just want to make a simple illustration. Your obedience could be this. It could be challenging dad and mom to go off course when this line, this red line, is going to take your family to eternity. So your, did I say obedience? Your disobedience could be throwing the family off and making it challenging. And if there's two or three on that team, it can get very difficult. And so I encourage you, honor your parents. Walk with your parents. They have a vision. They're not perfect. But I do trust this morning that all of these parents in this room this morning have a goal to get there. They have the big picture in mind. And so honor your parents. It'll make it much easier to stay on target. And so that tug of war, just, it gets off course. It's hard to stay on track. But there's a planning that needs to take place. Just real quick here, a verse. Oh, I've just said 29:18 indicates that problems arise where there's no vision, the people perish. In Proverbs 29:18. And just had to think of that. If you don't have a vision this morning, it just seems like you're things just get off course. And there's just no vision. And that's a picture of perishing. Where there's no vision, there's no restraint. The purpose of a vision is to provide restraint. Without vision, each person in your family will come up with his or her vision on a daily basis. And that's really tough. So may God help us to think about what we're doing and where we're going. And then conflict occurs. However, when everyone has agreed upon a family vision and also sees how their own personal vision fits within that vision, many conflicts are avoided. Because you know why? Christ is the head. There's a bigger picture in mind. There's a big picture in mind, and we're all headed there to the same place. So God's heart in Deuteronomy was to obey him so that we can prosper on that narrow path. We see in Ephesians the order for leadership is clear, very clear. He says, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. I just love that. I love that we can look, that I as a father can look to Christ and trust him to lead me, and then my family will follow. But I have an awesome responsibility to keep a laser focus on Christ and to live for him daily. It's not that difficult. It's not that complicated. If we as fathers put our focus on Christ, we can stay within that safety. We can stay on that track. But as soon as we get our eyes off of Christ, as a dad, as a father, then things start to be difficult in the home. That does not take long to see the results of that trust. No, don't trust me. But I will say I've experienced that many of times. When I get my eyes off of Christ, then you start to see the results in the family. Not honoring us as a husband and wife. But we are responsible. I am responsible. That's clear right here. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ, it's making a parallel, Christ is the head of the church, and he's the savior of the body. Christ the head. Let's go to Psalm 37. This morning, if there's a bit of fear in our hearts, if we're going to make it or not, if we can turn this around, if we can get back on track, I just want to encourage us with this. Again, our eyes are not on the enemy, our eyes are on Christ. He says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they soon be cut off, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as a green herb." Then he says to do this, "Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord." Here's the vision. Commit it to God. Commit the vision to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth thy righteousness as light and judgment as the noonday. And he says, "Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger. Forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. For evildoers shall be cut off, and those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be." Then he says, "But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plotteth against the just, and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. And the Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming." I tell you, if we hang in there, let's stay focused. If we hang in there and not get our eyes on the iniquity, the wrong, the things that the devil is doing to us. I was challenged. this week I was looking at a little clip of a person that was inviting people to church, and he was saying how them as a church, their goal is to disannul all the enemy's plans, and it was everything about what the enemy does, and they were going to avoid everything that they were going to try to cut all his intents and everything. And I thought to myself, I'm not going to be a part of that church. I want to be a part of a church where Christ is the head. I have no desire to go there. When Christ is lifted up, we can be healed. When Christ is seen, we can be made whole. And I'm saying spiritually, if you're off track this morning, he can make you whole. He can bring you back on that path. And I'm encouraged with that this morning, to not focus on what the enemy and his intents are. The wicked have drawn out the sword and have bent their bow, to verse 14, to cast down the poor and needy and to slay such as be of upright conversation. Their sword shall enter into their own heart, their bows shall be broken. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. Wow. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as fat of the lambs. They shall consume into smoke, shall they consume away. The wicked borroweth and payeth not again, but the righteous showeth mercy and giveth. For such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth, and they shall be cursed of him, and they shall that be cursed of him shall be cut off. Then he says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, listen to this, though he fall, he shall not utterly be cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Depart from evil and do good and dwell forevermore, for the Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein forever. The mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment. The law of God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. Wow. We serve an amazing God. He has us. The wicked watcheth the righteous and seeketh to slay him. The Lord will not leave him in his hand. Now picture this with me this morning. God has you and I right here in his hand. He's just right here. He has us. No man can pluck you out of the Father's hand. He has you right here. Don't get your focus on the enemy. Keep focusing on God. Keep focusing on what Jesus can do. He has us in the palm of his hand. Verse 33, nor condemn him when he is judged. Wait on the Lord, verse 34, and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. I have seen the wicked in great power and spreading himself like a green bay tree. Yet he passed away, and lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him, but he could not be found. Mark the perfect man and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. But the transgressors shall be destroyed together. The end of the wicked shall be cut off. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. And he shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him. Wow. Going back to verse, that one verse there, verse 3. Trust in the Lord. Do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Praise God. What an encouragement from the Word of God this morning to walk in righteousness and to stay on that path. So verse 5, we see that plan with God. Commit thy way unto the Lord. I found another verse in Corinthians 13. Well, a couple of verses. It's the love chapter. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. It is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. Just see the stability. Our love for Jesus. If our love for Jesus is in action, is in place, we're locked in. Our focus is locked in. This is what he says. And then he goes on to say, and thinketh no evil. Wow. I need a mind shift. How many times do we think, what if, evil? We think of our focus, instead of just doing the right thing and starting to run, we stand there wondering, well, what if this or what if that? But he said he thinketh no evil. The love of Christ, when we love God, it don't think evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity. just reinforces what we just read in the other chapters, but rejoices in truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, and endureth all things. That is a great encouragement, or should be to us this morning. Love is not ignorant of the existence of evil, but it does not take into account as a factor in planning. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Love is not ignorant to the existence of evil. But my, we still need to plan. We still need to walk. We still need to get up and go. The last message that I preached was on about rising up. This is one area that I'd like to call us to rise up. Let's rise up together. Someone asked me this week, is it possible to leave a simple lifestyle? Is it possible to lead a simple lifestyle in the area where we live? And I can confidently say this morning, it is. And we must. We must lead simple lifestyles. Test the power of no. Test saying no to things that want to take you away from the targeted focus this morning. Help your children in that path. Help them to walk this path and say no to the things that lead them off course. I don't know. I'm not going to name things this morning. You know what they are. You know what you want your future to look like on this path. You probably know that this morning. Test the power of no and explain the why we would not do that. Give them a larger picture of the next 5 years. Give them a picture of eternal perspective. If we don't, we just go in circles and we find ourselves not having purpose. And I want to walk with you in that way. But yes, what if God could make all things new? Adjust your lifestyle to what is important to God, then walk into different types of cultures, areas, and environments. Again, we should not fear that, right? We should not fear to walk into an environment where the enemy is present. We desire to know when the right times are, but we should not fear that. Let's build up that faith and trust God to help us to walk in that and not be caught up in comparison or peer pressure. And so we're going to take a few moments here, maybe informally. Again, we're not dismissing. We're just saying get with another couple, get with another individual, and share briefly what your vision is for your family or what your vision is for life. And then just write it down. And again, it's not going to be perfect. We're not expecting perfection, but we're just asking. All I'm asking is start somewhere. You're on a journey here. Start somewhere, and if you're off track, that vision will tell you what to say no to, if you have this in mind. And so let's do that now, and then we'll gather back together again. I'll let you know when we're ready to do that, and then I'll have one of the men close. So how do we start? Just go to someone and share. Let's do that now.